frequency of AB. Counsel?
Good morning. May it please the court, Richard Lechick on behalf of the appellant, Matty MacArthur. I'll reserve 2 minutes.
All right. And we have amicus in this case, but no one has asked or been granted extra time, so...
That's correct.
All right. Proceed.
To terminate the parent-child relationship, constitutional due process requires not only evidence proving the parent unfit, but that the trial court actually find the parent to be unfit. In this case, the evidence did not prove, the state did not argue, and the court did not find that Ms. MacArthur was currently unfit to parent her children. Because the record does not clearly show that the trial court actually found Ms. MacArthur was unfit, due process requires reversal. The state concedes that there was no explicit finding of unfitness made by the trial court. So the question is, can this court infer that the trial court nevertheless still actually found her unfit? And the way we determine how to do that is we look at evidence that would support showing that the trial court still intended to make that finding. And in this case, during closing summations, the state did not argue that Ms. MacArthur was unfit. And the trial court's memorandum opinion and its oral ruling did not state Ms. MacArthur was unfit. So, you know, had the state done so, or had the trial court made a sort of unofficial indication that Ms. MacArthur was unfit, that might support
it. The court said the mother would not protect the child and they would not be safe if returned to the mother.
That's correct. The court made that finding. That finding is not sufficient to infer a finding of current unfitness, because what the record shows is that there were no obvious parental deficits that would support a current finding of unfitness. And in this case, what the evidence shows is that Ms. MacArthur had parenting skills, she had no problem with housing, she had no drug or alcohol problem, she had no mental illness, she had no history of incarceration, and she had a healthy relationship with her children. And that is a negative finding, but the question is not whether the evidence would be sufficient to support termination. The question is, does that finding show the trial court actually found Ms. MacArthur was unfit? And if you look at the AB case, in that case, where the Supreme Court refused to imply a finding, the trial court had made a finding that the problems between the father and the son were, quote, profound and intractable. And nevertheless, the Supreme Court said that's not sufficient to infer a finding of current unfitness, because it really didn't have much to do with the parent's actual ability to parent. In this case, the mother's ability to protect the children, it was really didn't have anything to do with her current parental fitness. It was an external risk, just sort of like the father in AB wasn't really responsible for his relationship.
How is it an external risk if she's bringing him into the home?
I would disagree with that characterization of her bringing him into the home. Mr. Brown's free to come and go where he pleases, and Ms. MacArthur. I mean, so even if that is true, I don't think that goes to a sufficiency analysis rather than...
Whether or not she exposes the children to a known risk of harm?
I disagree that she, you know, the mere fact of domestic violence is that the victim is responsible for creating the risk of violence. And I might disagree with that proposition.
Well, the argument in part here is that the court's taking the children away because she's a victim of domestic violence. But the question is, are the children at risk?
That is ultimately the question in these cases. And
the record here suggests that during the dependency and, in fact, during the termination, despite the fact that the court was clear in the proceedings that he was perceived as a risk, that she was continuing to bring him into her household or allow him in her household.
Well, let's grant that concession. But nevertheless, the evidence still has to prove that the risk of domestic violence has to be particularly severe or grave. And it can't, you know, the department's own guide says just because domestic violence occurs in the home, that's not necessarily a basis for even removing a child from the home, let alone terminating a parent's rights. In this case, Mr. Brown's, the danger posed by Mr. Brown was that he had two prior convictions for fourth-degree assault against the mother, predating the dependency, and that he had improperly disciplined Ms. MacArthur's oldest son by spanking him and leaving marks on his buttocks. So that's the evidence of the risk of Mr. Brown. There's no evidence that he had a subsequent conviction for violence. And the department's guide, you know, in analyzing a severity of the risk, it asks, you know, does the perpetrator have any sort of mental illness? Does he use weapons? There's no evidence that Mr. Brown had weapons or that he had mental illness or that he had an issue of substance abuse, which might increase the risk of domestic violence. The guide also talks about whether the perpetrator is employed, because that diminishes the risk of violence and the severity of it. The evidence was that Mr. Brown was employed. There's no evidence that Mr. Brown made threats against Ms. MacArthur of children. Those are also evidence that would increase the risk of severity or domestic violence and the severity of it. So this case really isn't like the SMH case, and in that case, this court held that the evidence was sufficient to terminate the parent's rights due to the severity of the risk of a partner. In that case, the father had not only a history of domestic violence, but he had sexual deviancy towards children, and indeed had been, in fact, the mother in that case had seen that father during trial. So I also like to emphasize the evidence, the undisputed evidence, that Ms. MacArthur can protect her children. It's undisputed that Ms. MacArthur left truly abusive relationships with the father of two of her other children. The father of her oldest, Mr. Weaver, she left that relationship, and she left the relationship of the father of her daughter and her son, A.H. and E.H., Mr. Hayes, and did not contact them. She expressed concern about her oldest son's placement with the father. And she opposed a paternal relative placement for some of her children because she thought it would be dangerous. She demonstrated persistence in this case. She completed all services. She completed the DV services. She attended court. So this evidence shows that she would take action in protecting her children. This is evidence that's unrebutted. Ms. MacArthur recognized that being hit was a red flag. She testified that she would not let Mr. Brown see her children unless there was some sort of parenting plan and that, he had somehow regained his rights to see the children. She was able to identify what signs to look for in having a committed intimate relationship. What do you look for and what might pose a risk? So given this record shows that the risk posed by Mr. Brown was not so severe. The record shows that Ms. MacArthur, in fact, can protect her children from a risk of domestic violence. So given that record and the lack of any other current deficiency, this court cannot infer that the trial court intended to find Ms. MacArthur unfit.
Can we, or should we, remand for the court to make an express finding of unfitness?
No, this court should reverse and let the dependency proceedings begin anew. And I think that's the remedy that occurred in AG that this court, the court just reversed. And ordinarily, when you reverse and remand, that's the remedy that occurs.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, my name is Kelly Taylor. I'm an assistant attorney general on behalf of the Department of Social and Health Services, Children's Administration. And the department is asking this court to affirm termination of parental rights as to Ms. MacArthur and her four young children. Ms. MacArthur had participated in over 100 hours of domestic violence support groups. She had participated in over a year of mental health treatment. Yet she remained committed to her long-standing relationship, the five-year relationship she had with this man who had actually physically abused her own children. There was an administrative finding that the department entered, which was that Mr. Brown had physically abused Ms. MacArthur's eldest child, J.W. Corresponding to that, there was also a finding by the department that the mother, Ms. MacArthur, had negligently treated her child by allowing Mr. Brown to go down into the basement with her child to perpetrate this abuse on the child. The CASA on this case, who knew the children over the course of the long dependency, 3 years dependency, testified that the children were actually terrified of Mr. Brown. So in terms of whether this is true domestic violence, in terms of the violence perpetrated by Mr. Brown on Ms. MacArthur, prior dependency order indicated, showed that the mother had actually been hit with a closed fist by Mr. Brown while she was holding their child in common. In retaliation, she had grabbed a knife and slashed him in his arm. So this is significant domestic violence that we're talking about on this case, and it's not just being perpetrated on Ms. MacArthur, and it's not just, and I don't want to minimize the impact of domestic violence exposure on children, because there was a lot of significant testimony about that in this case, but it was also direct physical abuse of a child by Mr. Brown, and also by Ms.
MacArthur. I think counsel was suggesting it was just that one episode and it wasn't that severe, and that she understood the risks and could keep the children safe, and that therefore the findings don't support us concluding there was unfitness.
Well, no, the CASA testified that the children were terrified of Mr. Brown. Testimony from the Ms. MacArthur was really to minimize any domestic violence that had ever taken place either against her. She testified Mr. Brown had never assaulted her. She testified that Mr. Brown didn't prevent a safety threat to her children, but that was really contradicted by the testimony from the CASA and from the social workers and from the exhibits, which indicated that Mr. Brown had physically beaten the children with a belt, including 4-year-old E.H., would have been 4 years old at the time, that Mr. Brown beat this child with a belt. So it wasn't an isolated incident. This was ongoing physical abuse of these children that was taking place in the home. The children suffered because of this. They had anxiety. T.O. was afraid to even leave the foster mother's side to go to school. This was significant ongoing trauma that these children had sustained while they were in the mother's care. The finding of current unfitness was made by this court. It was the finding that the court pointed to, which is finding of fact 2.518, which is, quote, the court concludes the children would not be safe with their mother, end quote. So that is a finding of current parental unfitness. It doesn't specifically use those words of current parental unfitness, but we know from the KMM case, which was decided by the Washington State Supreme Court last year, that a parental deficiency, quote, rises to the level of parental unfitness when it interferes with the parent's ability to provide for the child's basic health, safety, and well-being. So here we're talking about a parent who cannot provide for her children's safety because she's unwilling or unable to leave Mr. Brown over a lengthy period of time after being told by the social workers that it was a barrier to her reunification. There was no dispute that she understood that this was a barrier to reunification. And she admitted in her testimony that she had lied repeatedly to the social workers for the department and to the CASA about the nature of her ongoing relationship with this individual. So when one looks at that finding and then at the other findings, this case is distinguishable from the AB case. In AB, there were findings in AB that were counter to current parental unfitness. There were findings of parental fitness. In this case, there are no findings of parental fitness. We only have findings of parental unfitness. For example, we have a finding 2.6.1 where the court found it would be a considerable period of time before reunification could even be attempted given that Ms. MacArthur has not remedied her parental deficiencies, end quote. The trial court also made a finding that the children being exposed to domestic violence and how damaging domestic violence exposure can be to children. The trial court concluded that Ms. MacArthur remained in a relationship with Mr. Brown and that she was being dishonest about this. The trial court found that Mrs. MacArthur had tried unsuccessfully to have the no-contact order rescinded because she believed she needed Mr. Brown to act as a father to her children. The trial court entered a finding stating Ms. MacArthur, quote, did not see any safety issues regarding Mr. Brown and her children, end quote. And the trial court found that Mr. Brown had never come forward to participate in services to address his penchant for domestic violence. So all of those findings, when you look at them, that show a clear intent on the part of the trial court to enter an express current unfitness finding. So the other case that's distinguishable is the AG case. In AG case, there were findings that two of the four parental deficiencies had been corrected, and the trial court found no obvious parental deficit that would support an implicit finding of current parental unfitness. But here we do have a finding that is an obvious parental deficit, and that is her ongoing relationship with Mr. Brown, which was a finding that the court made. I think Charles Loeffler was the social worker who testified most clearly about the ongoing safety threat, and his testimony certainly supports and provides substantial evidence to the finding that the children would not be safe in Ms. MacArthur's care. Mr. Loeffler testified that Brown was, quote, a direct threat to the children, and even aside from them witnessing domestic violence, the children couldn't be returned home to Ms. MacArthur because there was a safety threat in the home. Now, the department social worker, Mr. Loeffler, observed Mr. Brown in the apartment. The CASA observed Mr. Brown leaving the apartment. And these are not individuals who are staking out this home for months at a time. I mean, these are individuals who go to the home, and he's seen leaving the home. So he's there. The finding that Mr. Brown was in this ongoing relationship is certainly supported by the record, because these are two witnesses who go to the home and they see him there when they go there. I want to mention, while I still have time, just the state constitutional challenge, because the department would suggest to this court that the court choose not to reach the state constitutional challenge in this case, because the trial courts, even if one assumes the trial court's decision to deny appointment of counsel for the children violated the children's right under the Washington Constitution, that error would have been harmless beyond a reasonable doubt. And the reason for that is that the children had a CASA who was a retired attorney who knew these children well, had been their CASA for 3 years, and he testified about the children's expressed interest, as he was required to do by statute. So this was a 9-day contentious trial. There was strong advocacy on both sides for termination and against termination. There's really very little possibility that the trial court's view of this evidence would have been somehow different if additional attorneys for the children were injected into this process. This court should decline to reach that issue. And of course, the underlying reason for this request is that these children have already been out of home for over a year since the trial ended.
Is there a need for guidance? Is there a likelihood of repetition, the same issue going to come up over and over again?
There is. That may be, but there's not need for guidance for these children, because it's been almost 5 years since they were removed from the care of their parents. This is a recurring issue that has occurred in other cases. These children are fragile, anxiety-ridden children who have been out of the home of their parents in June. I think it'll be 5 years. So we'd ask the court to decline to reach that issue and to find that any error would have been harmless beyond a reasonable doubt. Thank you.
The state's suggesting that this court needs an affirmative conflicting finding for it to conclude that the trial court didn't actually find Ms. MacArthur, or that it found Ms. MacArthur was unfit. AG, however, didn't limit its analysis, and it looked at, and it said there's no parental deficiency that would support necessarily a finding of unfitness. And I'll note, in the AG case, the Court of Appeals initially affirmed the termination order, and then it was because there was sufficient evidence to support it, and then the Supreme Court remanded the case back, and then the court held, nevertheless, it was still, because AB had just been issued, that you couldn't infer that the trial court had found unfitness, despite there being, you know, evidence of the mother in that case having domestic violence problems as a perpetrator, I'll add, and having chemical dependency issues. As to the social worker's testimony, Mr. Loffler, who was the current social worker, he testified there was no concern about the children being in the mother's care. I direct your honors to transcript at 790, where he sort of said, in a world where there was no supervisor and the children were just at home, quote, I didn't have any concerns about her feeding them, taking care of them, watching them, supervising them. So what the social worker is testifying is he has no concern about Ms. MacArthur's ability to care for these children. His concern is just this external risk about Mr. Brown. So this court cannot infer that the trial court actually intended to find Ms. MacArthur unfit. And even if you could make that inferred finding, the record does not clearly, cogently, and convincingly support a conclusion that she's unfit to parent her children. So this court should reverse the termination order and remand for further proceedings.
Thank you, counsel. That concludes the calendar this morning. Court will be in recess.
Or is it?